You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Matt Migaki, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians. We talk all about their lives and music while sharing killer craft beers. If you've ever wanted to sneak backstage and share a beer with one of your favorite musicians, well, Vox and Hops is the podcast for you. This week on the podcast, I had an amazing conversation with Morgan Lander and SJ Jones about Kitty Pig. There is this episode and over 450 other ones to help you enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. So what are you waiting for? It's time to become a Vox and Hops head. Cheers.
Hey, everybody, hey, yeah, baby, are you ready? Wow, wow. Welcome back to the Get Tucked Podcast. I am your host, Tuck. Woo. All right, how you living? I am feeling pretty goddamn good. I'll be honest, I just got a picture of my new custom Kiesel that is coming my way, and I am very excited. It's beautiful. We made some fun additions to Featured X this last week. We have added Chris Turner of Ocean's 8 Alaska, Matt Byrne from Hatebreed, Joe Bad from Fit for an Autopsy, and, well, as Pat would say, the better fit, and just a whole bunch more. Go check it out, featuredex.com. It's cool having these drum options for everyone. Session work is a crucial part of being a working musician, especially a drummer, so why not have the best drummer on earth play on your songs? Makes sense, right? Pretty easy. Go check it out. It's really easy to do. You can just send them some songs and have them check it out and see if they're interested. And it's pretty inexpensive, and 100% of the proceeds go to the artist. So go support your favorite artist by working with them. What a cooler way to do that. It's much better than a VIP. All right. This week on the motherfucking show, we have my buddy Dana. He is from Kingdom of Giants. He's the lead screamo. He's hot. He looks good. And I really like him. They're old friends of Fit for a King, and they're finally getting the recognition that we feel they deserve. And I'm going to say we. It's in my whole team, because we fucking love these guys. They toured with Fit well before I was in the band, and hopefully we'll get to play some shows in the future. This Friday, their new album, Passengers, will be out via Sharp Tone Records. We deep dive into the band's history and what it's been like to make this newest album. I really believe in this band and can't wait to hear the rest of the record. I personally haven't heard it yet. I probably should have asked, but you know, it's kind of nice to wait along with everyone else. Please make sure that you go and pre-order it. You can go to Sharp Tone Records website and do that there. There is a link in Kingdom of Giants Instagram bio. You know, we just went through this, and I have to be very clear. First week numbers are still important. Right now, these sales can not only, you know, help their career and their tour placement as we go back into touring, but it also will greatly help them financially. Without touring, this is a massive way to help out a band that you love or just have heard about. Please go pre-save it, pre-download it, buy a vinyl, shirt, whatever. It all really helps. But here we go. My episode with Dana from Kingdom of Giants.
I think it's good to hurt sometimes. It makes me feel. It keeps me alive.
You'll never understand.
No matter what I try.
I think the truth says down.
I believe in the lie.
We'll be right back.
Dana, the master of giants. You are here with us. You are here to defend the kingdom of large people. Even, yes. You know, I would say you're like above average height, right? You're like 5'10".
That's the single requirement to be in Kingdom of Giants. You got to be 6 feet or above.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, yeah. So
you don't even need to play an instrument.
Freaking, yeah, seriously. I mean, well, you guys have an abundance of people who play instruments and don't even play in the band, right? Like at this point, yeah. Right? Weren't there, at one point, there was three guitar players? Are there still three guitar players?
Yeah, there still is. And I'll tell you the whole story behind that if you want to hear it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm just, when you tour, do you bring all three?
Never. Mm-hmm. We've never done it.
Oh, okay. Respect. Okay, cool. As long as I wouldn't have to pay that many people to be in a band. You know, I mean, this is also coming from the guy who's got a computer as a rhythm player. So,
totally. You know, we've done it.
Mac Pro is sick. He's awesome. Dude. No opinion. Slaps. Hangs out. He's perfect. You know,
tone is there. His timing is just always spot on.
You know it, man. He never fucks up. But yeah, so how'd you find yourself with three guitar players and shit? Give me the backstory.
Well, from the very beginning, one of our original members, Red Steven, he's a guitar player. He has a child at home.
One of those.
Yeah, exactly. So he couldn't necessarily go on every tour. It was like taking a little bit of a toll. So we had our drummer knew a dude named Julian, and he was a Savage guitar player. So we had him coming out on tour with us. And then he was ending up touring just as much as as Red was, and then he started writing songs with us and stuff, and we're like, dude, it is not fair to call you a fill-in. Like, we need to dub you into this band. And we dubbed him in, and he became a part of the band, and we've always just been like, someone always has something going on at home and could take a tour off. And it's honestly been great because we've pretty much always been able to be a five-piece on tour, but then there's only been a couple where we like, we have done the backtrack, and it's beautiful. Four people on stage is the dream.
Bro. Yeah, it's so great. It was interesting doing the videos for the new stuff and doing the live show with Bobby because we haven't played with him in a while, and we've never done five piece since I've been in the band. And it was interesting because you could definitely tell on the songs where me and Dan were like perfectly in sync with each other, and
then
we have to adjust with Bob, and then when we're playing new stuff that none of us have played, it felt really good to just have the full team. But I was, you know, I guess it depends on what kind of rooms you're playing too. If I'm on a big stage, if I'm at Worcester Palladium, I don't care if there's 5 or 10 people in my band, I'll still be fine. But
You
know, if I'm playing, you know, a tiny room or the Door in Dallas or what's the Trees, the one with the fucking trees on stage.
Having
5 people in your band at that venue would be absolutely awful. Yeah. But anyone who thought putting tree trunks in the middle of a stage was also a fucking idiot.
Not a good call. Not a good call.
Like,
bro.
Oh, well, it's happening? Called trees. So, like, let's have fucking trees. No, like,
bro, paint a tree. Paint a fucking tree on
paint
the wall.
Paint it. Fucking put, like, some cool, I don't know, like, have some decorative stuff around the place. Yeah, some small trees.
We don't need a tree on stage.
But we don't need a tree on stage, you know? But still, there's this one band from Australia who, they're called Gravemind, and they have... Is that my house or your house?
It's mine.
Oh, word, respect. Okay, I like when there's some noise from other places. I live in Brooklyn, so I usually get a fair amount of noise in the show anyway.
I just moved to a small beach town, and you would not believe how much louder it is than... I moved from Long Beach, where it was actually loud. I was expecting it to be loud, but it was actually quiet there, and it's loud here. It's very strange.
Well,
anyway,
it'll be fun regardless. Yeah. It's cool you moved though. Good for you. That's nice.
Yeah, feels good. Anyway, Gravemind.
Yeah, Gravemind. They have three guitar players in their band, but they don't have a bassist. So my friend Scotty from Alpha Wolf, he's recorded their stuff. So I've just openly talked some shit on them where it's like, yeah, we were going to do a tour together, but you know, I'm going to rag on you. Scotty warned them where he just said, yeah, Tuck's going to rip on you the entire tour because you have three guitar players. And it's like, are you guys going to fucking duel? Are we going to fight to the death and see who's the best one? Like, oh, who plays rhythm the best? Like, what the fuck? put a computer up there, get me a bassist, and like have him dance around like a dum-dum. Unless one of your guitar players dances like a dum-dum, then that's fine. Right. But when I got three guys who are just going to fucking sit up there, I'm like, come on now. But the band rips. They're super fucking good. I actually like them. That's cool. Just naturally, which hopefully today we...
Dude, brutal.
We'll dive back in. What happened over there?
My internet sucks too. There's no service at my house at all. Like I can't make a phone call without FaceTime.
Oh,
and
God.
Then I have internet. I pay for decent internet. I'm sitting right next to my router, full bars, and it's still just not great.
It's okay. Hopefully. I'm sorry that you can't roam around a little bit. I personally like tough. The pace when I talk.
Me too. I do almost every time.
Yeah. I guess I just sit here for this one, but that's because I have to, because it's my fucking show. But so all in all, just want to say I do really like Gravemind. I just like talking shit on bands because it's fun, and plenty of people talk shit on my band. My band was fucking Windbreak Core for like 3 years.
Oh man, so, you guys were committed to that. It was a look, but it worked so good.
It was cool, and it kept you in shape because you basically just wore a tarp on stage and it made you sweat a lot. Don't miss it, though. I'm glad we don't do that anymore. Maybe someday.
That's just one thing that we've never done. I think maybe there was like a 2-week period where we all tried to wear like a shirt, some sort of shirt that had our symbol on it or something, because we were always told through management that you needed a gimmick. And look at all the bands that are massive that have gimmicks. And I'm putting gimmick in air quotes, you know.
I would refer to us as having a gimmick when we did that for sure.
It is like some sort of uniform look thing, you know, or like, I don't know, but we just, my gimmick that I always joke on is that we are a quality metalcore. Our gimmick is we're a quality metalcore band. Nothing more, nothing less.
Dude, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And it's nice to see that you guys are now getting the notoriety that you deserve, because even when I joined Fit for a King, you know, about 7 years ago now, you guys were one of those bands that they were familiar with, that they were friends with, they had done tours with, and that I heard a lot about, where it was like, oh man, those are guys we got to tour with. They're great dudes. And I'd be like, oh, that's really interesting. I do like the band, but I felt like, along with maybe it was you and like being as an Ocean, who at this time were kind of pigeonholed a little bit with In Vogue, which, you know, Nick Moore, I don't know him personally. We've had a few interactions online. He's been super nice to me, and I don't mean any disrespect to his label by bringing that up. It seemed as though it got people caught in like the minor leagues when they were trying to play majors. And did you feel that way for, you know, because you put out 2 or 3 albums with In Vogue, I believe?
Yeah, man, we were locked into a 4-record deal, and our first one, I had, you know, tracked all myself, and so it was already done when we decided to sign with them. And it's just like you said, Nick, I've only met him like 2 or 3 times, and he's never been anything but nice to me as a human, you know, so I don't think he's a bad guy at all. And I just know that
there's just only so much certain labels can give.
Yeah, man. It's like for when it comes to budgets or like, first of all, the budgets are crazy small. You know, like our first budget was 20. We put out 1, 2, 3 albums with them, and our max budget on our third album with them was $5,000.
What are
you supposed to do with that? And then, you know, our max music video budget was $1,500. So we're always coming out of pocket at least a $1,500 as a band to match it. And, you know, it's like, what can you get for $3,000 for a music video? It's like,
what pushed you to learn how to do it yourself?
I kind of just wanted to start making like content and shit, you know, like something to do on tour. And then like all of a sudden, like, I just started making stuff for my own band, which is what always happens. I think this happens with a lot of people who end up finding a side career in like the music world, is like you pick up a camera to start taking your own band promos because you can't pay someone $250. You start recording your demos because you have no other way of showing people your ideas, and you're not all, it's not, it's not 2006 where you're all going to stand in a circle and someone's going to play the same riff for 4 hours and the drummer's going to jam over it. It's like songs get written so differently these days, and someone has to know how to do it in your band because you can't be paying people. You know, Absolutely. If you want to save yourself $5,000, you can track your album yourself. And same thing with video, same thing. I think it's just merch designs, graphic design, all that type of shit. Someone has to pick up on your band. If you have a band and one of you does merch designs, one of you does video, the other does audio, like you're in a good spot.
Yeah, absolutely. And it certainly seemed to help you a lot, because especially as the band has begun to get more recognition, and especially since signing to Sharptone, I saw you doing tours and doing content for other bands, and it seemed to very much help, because a large part of being in a band also is just being a cool guy that people want to be around and want to work with. So when they want to take you on tour, whether it's to be in your band or to do photo video stuff, it's just a good feeling regardless.
Right. Sometimes you literally, well, it's part of like, it's if in the past it's been part of the deal. Like, we're going to take out Kingdom of Giants and Dane is going to do our photo video. That means we don't have to bring another body with us. He's already there, so we can pay him a little bit less than having to pay someone who is literally their sole job. It's one less bed, one less mouth to feed, you know, so it kind of is a win-win for everybody.
Absolutely.
The only problem is everybody on the tour gets better content than my own band because we don't have anyone to film ourselves.
Yeah, ain't that the fucking truth? Holy shit. Yeah, I guess at some point you'll have to, you know, pass the torch there where, you know, you can offer to work for other people, but your band will still have to have someone with you to be able to do that. Especially, if, you know, I feel like you're going to be on a lot of tours coming up where the music, I've talked about this quite a bit on my show, but the music industry was in a really weird place before COVID. And now it's kind of, to some extent, created a little clarity where I felt like when we were putting together tours, you weren't really sure where people placed anymore and who the best openers would be, where now, you know, things are a little clearer with those first two slots where, you know, there is this whole slew of Sharptone bands who are just totally crushing it, you know, younger to bigger bands, which is fantastic to choose from. And now when thinking about those next steps and those next tours, it's like, oh, I could definitely just like, I would love to tour with this list of bands. And, you know, because
it's it's almost making it like, dude, this could be, for me, it's like, it makes me want to be more selective with touring.
Yeah.
Because we're so used to just grabbing whatever. And I mean, we just did it because in the beginning it was just like, take what you can get, grind them out. And then like, you can only do that so much to where you're kind of burnt out.
Now you've got to wait. May I ask who your agent is currently?
Currently we are free agent.
No shit. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, we were with, you know, Jason Maggio. I'm not sure if you know him. He was with Royal Division.
Good bud. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So we were with them for management. And I mean, he just ended up landing us a bunch of stuff as our manager. So we decided to be free agents because our manager was doing a really good job with just getting it booked. So like, let's just do that, you know?
And now he's doing the Rock Nation shit. Big dog shit.
Props which is awesome. To him, man.
Very happy for him.
And very happy that's going for him.
On. Yeah, he's been very kind throughout the Featured X venture.
Nice.
You know, helping me
to work.
Which is going
good, hopefully, for you guys, right?
Yeah, it's going great. You know, in our first 2 months, we had over 300,000 views and over 100 requests. And people seem to be looking at it consistently and want to be a part of it and are stoked on it. And we've got some cool things planned for the future. So, you know, we've got big plans. We're just trying to do the usual startup stuff. You know, we got to team up with some people, get some motherfucking money, pump some steroids into this bitch. And so if anyone out there has $5 million, you want to give it to me? I'll take
it. Let's go. I got it. Let's thank do this.
You. So, yeah, dude, I know you got fucking got it in the pocket. Kingdom of Giants bringing in the fucking massive royalties.
You know it.
But now you are working with one of the nicest guys in the industry, Sean Keith.
I love that, man.
Indeed. Same.
He literally saved, I don't know if we'd be a band anymore if we didn't.
Did he get
you
out of your contract? Did you do four records with Info?
We didn't do four. We got out of it early. We had to pay a pretty big sum of money. You know, I don't think there's anything that anywhere that says I'm not allowed to talk about the step stuff. But
if you didn't sign an NDA, you can say whatever you want.
Oh, nice. So yeah, we basically we had like two more records, and we had to drop like $10,000 to get out of our contract.
Okay.
So we basically came up with the $10,000 ourselves and paid that. And then we had to give him the rights to our album, to one of our albums that are one of our previous albums that, that we was the only, it was our only source of income that we've ever had as a band. We've never, anything that's ever come in from Kingdom. So since we've been in this little pigeonholed area, not making a lot of money, has gone back into the band. We've never been paid as individuals. I think there was two tours where we decided to pay each other, pay like a couple $100 at the end of the tour, but that ended very quickly. And so he got the royalties to our only source of income that would come in every month, which was still only like $300 or $400.
But still something. Helps pay your
but
rent.
Still something. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we would we eventually got out, and then we used our Sharptone budget, which was fucking double what we've – our first budget with Sharptone was over double what we've ever got from Invogue. And we were like, so this is what it's really like to be really signed, you know? And we used that to pay ourselves back from the contract buyout. And then we basically self-funded the record. Our boy Matt Thomas at Astrone Audio did it for wildly cheap. We basically paid the rent at his studio for like 4 or 5 months. So I think we ended up giving him like $2,500 or something like that for this new record. And it's just, he's amazing. He saved our lives, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's an interesting thing to see, and it's a good topic for us to be able to talk about with people listening, because a lot of young bands are always trying to find that next step. I get asked all the time, oh, well, you know, we need a manager. We need a booking agent. We need to get signed. So, well, no, you have 40 monthly listeners on Spotify. I don't really think that that's what you need right now. What you need is to learn how to push your band. But then when your band does get to a place where, like Kingdom was, where band's creating some hype, an offer comes in. We see it.
Yep.
Well, do we do this or do we not do this? Well, if we don't do this, what if another offer never comes?
That's but if we exactly do it,
yeah, and then if you do it, then you learn the ramifications of your choices. So sometimes it works out great, sometimes it doesn't. In this instance, I would say that there was some good that came out of it. Kingdom definitely got more notoriety, became a more popular band, and you were looked at arguably as the best band on the label. So that's a fucking great look. But then also when it comes time to try to leave and that person knows what they're gaining off of those contracts that they got you into, it's very hard to let you go. And that's where, you know, it comes down to the business. But it's a very interesting thing because I try to tell people to be patient. And it's easier for me coming from the fact that Fit for a King got signed without me. I had nothing to do with that. Sure. They, you know, I am very lucky where I'm one of those people who got to join an established band. Mind you, the band wasn't fucking huge, but we were doing pretty good when we joined. It was definitely the best thing I'd ever done in my life. So I can't take any credit for that. But now learning a few things, you know, almost a decade later, it's a little bit easier to try to provide guidance for younger musicians who are listening to the show.
If you were to start over right now and you didn't have – if you got to keep – the knowledge that you have now, but lose all the notoriety and you had to start over, you could get a band.
Yep.
Bigger, way faster than you would have.
Yeah. I mean, that stuff definitely helps because you learn all the tricks and you learn who to talk to and what are the necessary steps to be able to launch something. But it's still difficult. For instance, like my side project Off-Road Minivan, one Love tooth it, and nail is... Thank you, man. I appreciate it. It's definitely my side emo lover, and I am very, very stoked on it. And it's just, I've always grown up listening to those kinds of bands, and that's how I want to sing. It's fun for me to get to do. But pushing a project that's brand new, even with being in a notable band and having some stuff, just because I'm in a, you know, a big metalcore band doesn't mean anyone's going to care about my emo. And I've come to find that. And it is difficult, but at the same time, it's been cool to generate an almost new fan base at the same time and bring in different people, and hopefully you'll be able to, you know, combine everyone together. But through signing like that contract, looking back on Fit stuff, Fit renegotiating and signing a new contract. One, I am really, I'm glad to say one of the most important things is years back or years after you make a decision, will you look back and be like, man, I wish I would have done something differently in this decision. Absolutely not. I'm very happy to work with the people I work with, and I love them so much. And I really can't say enough about Brandon and Adam and Tyson and everyone at Solid State. So we're very lucky in that situation. But what I was getting at is it just really is hard to push a band. So now your band, who is already naturally magnetic, is put in a place where more people can see it. There's a lot of hype around Sharptone and what they've done in the last couple of years as a startup label and then just absolutely crushing it. So it was one of those perfect scenarios where I almost now, it's kind of like what I used to do with Rise when I was younger, where when something signs to Sharptone, I'm like, all right, well, I got to at least listen to it. And I'm like, yep, he did good again. Like, for instance, this past week's was 156 Silence. And I'm going to have their vocalist on here soon, but super fucking cool band. And
nice.
It's just, it's very nice to watch. Man, I just rambled, bro. I'm stoned. That's what happened. Oh, man. Dude, is Blue Dream about weed? Or is it named after weed?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, because I love Blue Dream. I almost lit a bedroom on fire because of Blue Dream once.
It really originated for me from, I've been wanting to use that name for a while because there was this band that was pretty much all good friends of ours that they were crushing it for a little bit in the SAC scene. And they like had gone to Eric Ron and worked on stuff and they were really good. They were like, sounded a lot like Hands Like Houses.
Cool.
Those kind of bands. And they had a song called Blue Champagne. And I always wanted to do one Blue Dream. I know. Yeah. So then I always wanted to do one Blue Dream, but then, so yeah, it's a weed strain, but at the same time,
song. It's an totally atmospheric song and it really does fit.
Right. And what is a Blue Dream? Like a Blue Dream to me is a nightmare. You know, it's like a sad dream would be a nightmare. So it's really that as well.
A Blue Dream to me is a fantastic sativa.
yeah, there you go.
There was this one time, the first time I ever had Blue Dream, when I was a youngster, I used to sell the marijuana. And I was sitting in my girlfriend's bedroom and we were smoking a bowl of Blue Dream and we're just like, man, the room's mad smoky, dude. And I was like, shit. And then we look and the garbage can is on fire and it's right underneath the curtains.
You guys thought you were just chiefing it so hard.
Yeah. And then the fucking right underneath the curtains, I'm like, oh shit. And I put it out and it's because I had cleared my bowl, like, you know, blew some ash into the fucking thing. And of course there's like tissues and shit, but yeah, Blue Dream's great. Love it. Big fan.
Wow.
There you go. That's my Blue Dream story for everybody today. For that's great. Stoner moments. yeah. That's one of my fun parts of the show, too, is people listening to it and being like, wait, you smoke pot? Like,
wait.
Dude, I'm a fucking massive pothead. I'm just so wired all the time. You'd never know. You watch our show and they're like, wait, you're high while you do that?
Yeah, somehow,
even though I'm running a fucking billion miles an hour. But
spinning in circles.
So this Friday, the big fucking day. Here we go. It's coming out. Are you excited?
Yes. I am excited. It's a weird one, man. It's like I don't live anywhere near the rest of my band anymore. And, you know, we're not going to be doing, can't play a show to release it. It's just like coming out. You know what I mean? It's just weird. It's just, we did the best we could with visuals leading up to it and singles. We were putting out just the best shit that we've ever put out.
You put out five singles. I love it.
So sick. It's right now, what do people need more? Do they need a new Kingdom song every month for 5 months straight? Or do they need an album to just drop out of nowhere? It's like, I feel like we're in this time where people need something to look forward to like every month. And
absolutely.
I'm glad we did it that way.
Yeah, it really seems to have fit kind of what's been going on in the world perfectly, where a lot of people, when this all happened, you know, you push off your album by a month, you push it off by 6 months, you know, everyone seemed to do that for a while. Yeah. And we, you know, didn't push it off very much, decided to roll with it, started doing the singles, did the whole thing. And I will say, at first, it seems really scary because, you know, obviously would have loved to release it on a Parkway Drive tour. Would have been.
Right.
You know, say it wouldn't. But getting to sit at home, really read the comments, see how people are taking it, talk to people, do some interviews, and focus on the release was also very rewarding, where I've never gotten to just sit back and watch. And
right.
Now people are so... are just dying for content and want new things to listen to. And be that everyone else has pushed off their album releases, I can't name another record that's coming out Friday that I'm very excited about. Maybe there is something. There might be.
Maybe.
But that's a great thing to have, where if you're, you don't want to have a ton of competition, and now there's going to be insane competition when it comes time, where people may have already had 4 months to digest your record and really be into it, and then tours start getting put together and everyone's like, all right, well, I definitely want to take them because that record just smashed. If the record's coming out when tours start again, people aren't going to necessarily know about it or feel the need to want to, you know, have them out on tour.
I feel like things, like we were going to release it on a sick tour. It was supposed to come on July 1st and we were going to announce a tour and we were going to start a tour that day. It was actually going to be sick. And then that didn't happen and we ended up pushing it back and we're like, well, let's just start releasing songs in July then and we'll start pushing it out.
But Did the tour get rescheduled or can we talk about it?
It never even got announced. I never even got information on it. So I think maybe it'll get rescheduled. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm probably not supposed to talk about it yet. Cool. We'll do another one of these in the future. And So we, you know, I think that we're putting out a good time. We're touring. Might come back in 6 months or so. I don't know. We'll see how things go. But
it's very possible.
I think it'll have 6 months is a good time for it to like digest, and people are going to be listening to it, and we'll get good feedback or bad feedback. We'll get feedback in general, and then maybe in that time we'll be able to drop, you know, a re-release with a couple more songs right around when touring comes back, and people. I think it'll be a good criteria to get on some good tours. You know,
no, it won't be. No tours. No tours for Kingdom of Giants.
Never.
Yeah. No, definitely not. So.
That was so crazy about our touring history is that when we finally broke was when we were broke. Was when we got on Sharptone, and the timing was great where we got the Azalea Dying offer, and then we got those Boo tours, and we were out with Chelsea and all that, and everything was sick. And that was so far at the end of an album cycle. It's insane. Yep. You know what I mean? And that's
it shows what good help can do for you too.
Totally. We were so lucky to have got those.
You know, because, you know, when you, a label that you're with can certainly help you. And it's not like, you know, Sean just waved his fucking magic wand and all of a sudden you're on dope tours, but it's something about that placement that changes people's mindset where they consider you differently. And there is a bias when it comes to labels and stuff like that, and it sounds so silly, but it's, you know, is Fit for a King gonna have an opening band on their tour from We Are Triumphant Records? Probably not. And it's nothing against them, and it's not, you know, it's nothing like we're like, oh, we're too fucking good, but I mean generally, you
it's
know
also
people
not
get
your decision.
Snatched up,
you know.
Well, yes and no. We actually make our lineups most of the time. We kind of Matt's pretty cool. Our agent's real nice, and you know, he has an opinion, and he tells us who he thinks we should take, and luckily we generally align on it. But for the most part, like this past tour, we picked that shit for sure.
Hell yeah.
Like, and that was great, because then you get to have a band like Alpha Wolf out on their first U.S. tour, hype, and then they play for 5 days and it goes away. But those 5 days were insane, because those guys, it was crazy to watch a young band smash like that. People were just killing each other to that band, and that's a way to start a show. So
hell yeah. Damn sick. Yeah. Yeah, I do remember it has happened multiple times where, you know, a band puts us up for their lineup, and it's like the band agrees, agent agrees, maybe manager agrees, and then we literally get the email that's just like, yo, the band loves you, management loves you, but agent just doesn't fuck with Nick Moore. And unfortunately, as much as they love you, they can't take out an Invo band. And we've literally got that reason like 4 times.
Oh, I'm sure.
And we're just like, damn it.
Yeah, it's it's got to be a really shitty feeling. And we can somewhat relate where we've had people we've asked to take on tour and they're like, oh, we won't tour with a band like that because they think we're all super Christ and shit.
Right.
But yeah, it's a tough place to be in. And it's got to be very rewarding to see that that actually does change when the cards are flipped and you are in a different position. And it's got to be nice because at the same time, I look at the choices that Sharp Tone has made, the bands that they've signed in a short period of time. And it's just filled with great decisions.
Right.
And
that's what it is. Like every time Sharp Tone's putting out announcing a new band, I'm like, sick. Yep. Sick band. Boom. Sick band. When I was on In Vogue, every band that was getting released, I feel like such a dick saying this, but every band that was released, I was just like, this is whatever. I don't really like this. And it just felt like every week it was another band and he was just signing just to have more bands and hope that something popped, and nothing ever popped, and it was just diluting us even more and more.
That's the fly on the wall technique, my man. Yeah, I've been, talking about that a bit too, where, you compare like early Rise where it was, all right, we're going to sign like fucking 50 bands. I'm going to throw these motherfuckers at the wall and then boom. Yep. What Was Me Sticks or Sleeping With Sirens or, Devil Wears Prada or whoever the fuck. And, totally. Those ones make up for everyone else. And that's why you get the kind of deals that you get where it's like, I'm going to sign this deal. You're going to give me in advance. And then you get to own, 87% of my music
for there it is.
The rest of time. But at least, when you look at the In Vogue situation with you guys, through all of those bands that were signed, only you and Being as an Ocean truly stood out as tangible, solid product that, was going to reach another level. And again, no insult to those fucking other bands. And I may not have listened to your band. If you're in a band that's in Vogue and you're listening to this, I'm not fucking shitting on you.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I don't keep up as much as I could when it comes to some of that shit. But so don't take it personally. But this is out of respect for the fact that, both your bands just completely shined. And you can always look back, like we discussed earlier, and say, oh, well, what if we had signed right away to Arise Records? Like, would things be different now and blah, blah, blah. I don't think it really matters because now you guys are a great metalcore band on a great metalcore label in the time when metalcore is like fucking crushing. Like people want this shit right now and they like it and it's great. More people like metalcore now than ever. You guys hear those sirens in the background? It's time for the Mid-Row Mosh! That was pretty good. I feel good about that one today. But seriously, it's time for the Mid-Row Mosh. Here it is. I hope you're stoked. I'm super excited. It was hand-picked by Dana himself. Speaking of things that are hand-picked, did you know that Bobby of Fit for a King sells plants? He does. Bobby and his wife own a beautiful plant shop in Fort Worth, Texas called Grow Plant Shop. You can find them online at growplantshop.com. They have some very inexpensive and beautiful additions for your home. Go check it out and buy yourself, your mom, your dog, your best friend, your partner, your grandma, anyone, a plant, go do it because it's nice and it's nice to have pretty living things in your house. It makes you feel better. And, I think everyone could use it right now. So just do it. Don't be stupid. Okay. Today's Mid-Row Mosh. It comes from Sacramento, California. Dana chose the song Ouroboros by The Measure. And it's funny because I think I might have played Ouroboros by Degrader at one point on the show, but I can't remember. But we're talking about The Measure today. Fuck Degrader. I'm just kidding, guys. They're nice people. Okay, The Measure is a genty metalcore band that brings the riff. I really dug this song after Dana showed it to me. He also filmed and edited the music video that they have for this song on YouTube, so go check it out. But yeah, it fits today's mood. It goes right along with bands like Kingdom of Giants and Currents and Polaris and shit like that. And I think that you will all really like it. So here we go, Ouroboros by The Measure. love it because metalcore's the fucking greatest. Yeah,
I feel myself go like in and out of being like burnt out on it, and then like a band comes out that I'm like, yes, like you know, Alpha Wolf, for example. I'm just like,
oh yeah,
thank you for coming in clutch and fucking rehyping me on this shit.
Same, man. And I had a little while where I was like that too, because at my core, really, I'd prefer to listen to like Manchester Orchestra, Black Mile to the Surface every day of my life, or like fucking nice. Armor for Sleep or some shit like that.
Right.
But then as of late, I've just been finding more and more bands that I just heavily fuck with. Like Sick. Spite, for instance,
is yeah, one of those yeah. bands
that I just... And at first, I was like, Spite, I don't know. Like, will I like this? I don't know if I'll like this. You know, you see a couple vocal covers of Darius like doing cool shit, and you're like, oh, I wonder if they're really like a good band. But then once I finally listened to that latest record, I was like, holy shit, I just want to play with this band so bad. Like, I'll put a fucking mask on, pretend like I'm in the crowd, and just beat the piss out of people for fun. Just so good, and it's nice to feel reinvigorated. But your band, that's what's so great, is your band feels like a brand new band, even though you've been through the ringer a little bit. So even though you're burnt out, you've got to try to keep that spark going where you're like, well, yeah.
That second wind, you know, baby.
Yeah, that second wind. It's a beautiful thing.
Named the fucking record that.
Oh, shit. There we go. That'll be the third record. Third wind. Yeah. The new one. Yeah.
Third wind.
When you've already been super burnt out twice and someone just lights your ashes on fire. But out of the five singles, which one's your favorite?
Let's see. I like them all in their own ways. You know, Sync is like the first one we dropped is like that riff in the beginning is like something that's like been floating around and just never found its place. And like, seriously, like, maybe like a week before the record was done, we were like, we got to change that opening riff to that song, which someday I'll show you the like original version of that song. You can hear the other riffs over there. Okay. And we just worked that one in, and all that riff saved that song to me. And it has like a very like radio structure and all that. And like, I love that song for what it is.
Hell yeah.
And Side Effect, I think it has like a more interesting vibe, and it's like heavy in its own type of ways, but it's like groovy in its own way. So that one is like low key one of my favorites on the whole record. And then Wayfinder is like the total curveball single, which the video just makes the song even better. I love what Ori did for the video for that.
Yes.
And it's just like total vibe the whole time. And then it almost reminds me of like, you know, Invent Anime.
Yeah, Van Anime. Love that band.
The boys. So Invent Anime, they're like, there's like a part in that song that reminds me of something that they would do with the drums, like syncing up with the drum syncing up with the guitars in a weird pattern for a breakdown. And like, so I love how that song seems like it's like a very straightforward song, but then just has one section that's very clever and creative. So it's like, I don't know if I have a favorite, but they all are just like my own favorites, you know, in their own ways. Awesome.
No, that's a good thing to have where you, you know, appreciate different songs for different reasons, but they all hold a heavy weight for you.
And exactly.
That's when you know you got a lot of good singles, because you hate to listen to a record and be like, yeah, this one's definitely the best song. Like,
totally.
You don't want to be in that situation.
On our last record, dude, that was exactly how it was. Like, if I go up to like any, even of my friends that listen to us or like whatever, just a fan, I'll be like, name two songs off All the Hell You Got to Spare. And guarantee every time it's Cash Out, Damaged Goods. And I'm like, yep, because those are the two fucking singles. Everything else, like, we did it, that record on purpose. We did it, like, we wanted to experiment. We did Ground Culture. It was all crazy riffy, and, like, it was what everybody wanted from just straight-up metalcore at that time. So we did that. And then we wanted to experiment. We were, like, heavily influenced by, like, ABR and stuff for so long. So we wanted to do some things with, like, weird time signatures that they would do. So we did shit like that. And wrote like, you know, just what we wanted to do at that time to say that we did it for a record. And then for this one, we were just like, dude, let's just write fucking 10 singles, you know, like, you, we know what a single takes, what it takes to write that. Let's just do that in its own way 10 different times. And then we wrote the record, and then we were like, what do we even choose to be the songs? Because almost every song on the record could be a single. And that's what I'm hyped about, is I've always been like, why don't more bands have more songs like their singles throughout the record? Like, Siler did it so good on one of their records, not the most recent one, but the one before that. Like, every song just had a fucking banger chorus, and you're like, this could be a single.
Oh, yeah.
This could be a single. This could be a single. Yeah, dude. And it was just like,
that record was super catchy. That.
Super,
you know,
catchy.
Man, there's this one album you could listen to. It's called The Path by Fit for the Kings.
I could
and every
try,
single
dude.
Song is a fucking hit. That's the best fucking metalcore record ever made. By God, you better listen to it or you're a pansy ass motherfucker.
I agree.
No, yeah. We like that mindset. I think it's important. Yeah. I love records that are, you know, meant to have the ebb and flow and the interlude tracks and all that kind of shit. And we've definitely done that.
Right.
But yeah, we just want to write bangers all the time.
So I write bangers.
Banger City, baby. Because that's what makes the most fun record. And they all fit for together to still feel cohesive. And it has the same ethos, but it doesn't have to be... You know, like, all right, well, this is definitely our track 7.
It's going to
gradually grow into track 8. And and we're going to crescendo to the end of the record.
Yeah.
But I'm a fan. What's the one song? It's one of the singles you've put out where there's like a riff, like a... And then like there's a little vocal in the background.
Yeah. Hell yeah. What? A little push it.
That's what you say?
Push it. Yeah.
Push it real good.
Push it
real good.
Exactly.
See, this is why I wish I was doing video already. I'm going to start doing it in like a week or two because I finally bought things to do it. And then people could have just seen me dance and like pretend like I'm Salt and Peppa.
Yeah, but like there's probably been like 4 times where I put something in quotes like with my hands as if you can see it so it doesn't get – but now it's probably just taken literally and I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, I mean, I'm bummed that I'm not going to get to be as like weird because no one's videoing me or whatever. Like I could be in my boxers if I wanted to.
Right.
I wouldn't do that because I don't want to do that. That's weird. I wear pants all the time because I'm a fucking adult. But
I'm not wearing them right now.
Who needs pants, bro? Honestly, pants are for losers. but it's going to be fun. I'm excited to make the change. I've been questioning. I was like, well, how much pot can I smoke in these videos and not have people be like, well, is he high all the time? But I'm like, well, I want to be true to myself. And
yeah, you have to be.
You know, the whole idea has been being true to myself. And if Joe Rogan can do it, I'm the Joe Rogan of metalcore, so I can.
Hell yeah. What a fucking title to have. That's sick.
Absolutely, dude. I mean, sometimes you have to title yourself.
Yeah, and I know. Sometimes.
You know? Yeah. I'm just trying to put it into the matrix. And then just have it become a thing. You know, it's just Featured X will take off. My podcast will be huge. I'm going to be the richest person in metalcore. And then I'll buy Warped Tour and put it back on.
Please.
Yeah, that would be cool. I don't know if I'd buy Warped Tour, though. That would be pretty cool to do. I would do it, and then I would be a real dickhead about what bands I put on it. People thought that there was problems with, you know, lineups being biased or not having, you know, equal playing field. I'll be like, oh, fuck you guys. No one's coming on the tour except for
just
me.
Literally no one. Just literally no bands.
It's just me doing a stand-up routine the whole time. That's Warped Tour now.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be awful. No, that would be really fun to put together a festival. You know, even if just for a day, but I cannot imagine the logistics, how difficult and stressful it is.
It must have been so insane.
You know, and people, you know, even myself that did it, you act like you're just some entitled little shit. We're like, yeah, I need to go. My water has to be here and I have to go do these things. And like, oh God. And then you just think about how much effort it takes to put something like that together.
Dude, get 5 of your friends together outside of a van and try to figure out where you're all going to go to eat. You know what I'm saying?
Ain't that the truth?
And then think about Warped Tour and what it would take to put that together. It makes me want to die thinking about the logistics.
Absolutely. After trying to start after successfully starting my own business, FutureDex.com. Where you can go and you can purchase yourself a guest vocal from Dana of Kingdom of Giants.
Let's get it.
You know, it's been really just even that in itself has taken so much effort where I can't imagine doing something like that. But fuck those things. They're not Kingdom of Giants. Fuck everybody else. Even the person listening right now. Fuck you, guy.
You heard the man.
But yeah, I want to clear up some things here before we get too late into it. But when it, do you still write guitar for the band from time to time? I know you
for sure.
Yeah, because you read from what I've been told.
I don't really, honestly, I just don't play that much anymore. I play a good amount when we're writing, you know. I did write some stuff on the new record, but I'm more of like the pattern and rhythm at this point, and like maybe some like ambient like leads here and there, but like we kind of all have our roles. Like Max comes up with crazy ass riffs, and then I take his riffs and I hone them in, you know, and I make them what they become. And it's like I've always been like more of the composer than like the writer, you know. So I'll do like the arrangements and the strumming patterns. I'll write a shit ton of the breakdowns. Julian has been writing tons of like the leads, like the crazy ambient weird stuff. We're like, all right, Julian, we need a lead, get in here. Boom, he'll lay something down. So it's kind of a group collective, and especially on Passenger, I seriously stepped back so much. And like there were like Blue Dream, I don't think I had anything to do with writing that song except for maybe a little bit of production stuff. Because our new bass player, vocalist Johnny, he got into recording too, and he likes to write. So he wrote like that whole song pretty much by himself. Wow. And it's a banger. I mean, it fits right in, you know. So his element being added into the game has been a game changer.
So he's new to the band? Because I was going to say, I feel like I'm hearing a lot more singing and like hearing this voice either a lot more than in the past, or it is new, but good
it
to
is
know
new.
It's new.
It is now.
It's great. He's got a hell of a voice, man. Where'd you find him?
He's been a friend of the band forever, and he's lived in the area forever, and he's been in bands forever. He also was technically one of the original members of the band before it was even out of high school. You know, like it was like him and Max and Red just like messing around or something, and but he ended up not officially ever being in it, so it's kind of full circle actually.
That's awesome.
And it just has voice. And just live, he's so good live. And I have multiple people coming up to me and being like, what are you using for your tuning live on Johnny? And I was like, literally nothing. He's ran through nothing. I run myself through a compressor that has like some dialed in effects here and there through my computer, but he is dry straight to the board every single day. And they're just like, holy shit. So he's just that good.
That's awesome.
And well, you hear it dramatically. Yeah.
You know, that's awesome, man. You know,
yeah, it's dramatically helped my live performance too, not having to go back and forth between the singing and screaming so much. Because, like back in the All the Hell You Got to Spare days and the Ground Culture days, like I can sing in the studio all day long, like no problem. But it's like the moment that I start screaming so much, it's so hard to like keep my clean voice in check.
They just feel so different. I'm trying to learn how to scream now and like scream properly. And it's so hard, and I can't imagine going back and forth because they just feel so different to me muscle wise. But it's it's great that you have that skill and you can go back and forth with him like that in the times when it's necessary and be able to retain melody in your screaming. Cause I think that that's super important where, you know, if you can't kind of, even with screaming, people think it's noiseless or, you know, doesn't have any clear direction, but when you're listening to a song, you kind of still do scream to the key of the song.
These
moments, and it's not just aimless.
Right.
So it's nice to see, you know, you have always been really good at that, but this latest mix is quite fantastic at really getting to hear your vocals shine.
Yeah.
Big fan.
And then like, and in the singles, I haven't really done too much clean vocal stuff. I had a few lines here and there.
Yeah.
And there is like, there's probably one track on the record where I do like most of the singing. Like, I do the verses, I do the chorus, and Johnny does some shit over top of me in the chorus. And but I like really sing the whole time. And like we tried to do, I don't know if this is a good comparison, but we tried to do like a Spencer and Aaron type from Under Oath type thing. Bud. You know what I'm saying? Where like Spencer can sing and he can scream and you love both of his tones. But like when Aaron comes in, you're like, boom, there's that second voice that really makes this work, you know? Yeah. So like, I think like just utilizing both our voices, because Johnny can scream too. And he didn't do, I don't know if he ended up screaming enough, like a lot on the record. It might have only actually been a couple lines, but he can scream really cool. He has like this like really yelly, like fucking raspy, clean scream thing that I love. Sick. So I wanted
like the Sam Carter's shit.
He could for sure do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess Daniel's, I mean, more
got a
like,
little bit of that in him too. He did it on one of the songs on the new record.
Nice.
The song Louder Voice. There's like a section you hear Daniel do some yellies. It's pretty fucking sick. Boy's got pipes.
Well, you got, it's got what, three or, that means if Bob did stuff, you did stuff, Ryan did stuff, that's like everybody's, Jared doing vocals because well, you got
Bob doesn't people. Do any vocals on the record anymore.
Okay.
And Jared didn't, but it's just the three of us because we just try to keep it to whatever's actually going to do it live.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, and it was just one of those things that we've heard him do it on tour. And kind of had to learn Dan's voice day by day and just end up discovering, like, holy shit, this guy's crazy singing. Dude, voice, crazy he's harmonies. He's got yep. super good yells. So then Kirby wrote this part where he was like, oh, yeah, I want Dan to do his, like, Sam Carter thing right here. And then you hear it and you're like, holy shit. So everyone go listen to Louder Voice by Fit for the Kings.
I always want to do a fucking Fit for a Kingdom of Giants tour, dude.
Dude, that would be fucking awesome. We should do it. I mean, I definitely see our bands touring together in the future. I don't see why not. I can't wait. I've been begging the Matrix to hook up a fucking Polaris Fit for a King tour as well.
Oh, I just yes,
really dude. Love that band. They're just so damn good.
They are sick.
Dude, what does Passenger mean?
Passenger is like, basically at this point, you know, when you feel like life, like you're just a passenger and you're out of control of everything that's happening and you're basically working on taking the wheel back of your own life and making your own decisions and just taking back control when you feel like things have gone astray.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know what I'm saying?
Dude, I can relate. I like that.
Yeah.
I think for right now, that's very fitting.
Yeah, no, I didn't even mean for that to happen. It feels very fucking fitting.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's something I've been thinking about and dealing with a bit. You know, I think all of us have been on our own, where I was just talking to my dad on the phone before we jumped on the phone, and was discussing a new artist who I got for the website that's going to be joining in November. And I was really excited about it because it's actually a band that like I've grown up loving, and it's yeah. pretty big for us. I'm very excited.
Nice.
And you know, we were just talking about the current state of things, and I'm like, yeah, you know, between the album and this stuff and everything, I truly just feel like I'm in a daydream, and some of it could be the weed, but I feel like I can't grasp reality very well right now. And I'm just like, I'm trying to just keep a smile on and like coast through and stay working hard and figure it out as we go. But it's still, none of it feels real. None of it right. feels like I have any actual control, because I don't. I have zero control of my career. I have zero control of my business. All I can do is hope that things get better.
Right.
And it's just such a weird fucking time period, because I try to be the overtly positive guy, and I think I still feel very positive, but then I definitely have those moments where I'm just like, this is fucking insane. How is this real life? So it's great that you are coming out with an album that's so relatable, and maybe that's why the singles are resonating so well with people, is because the motif is there. Everyone can really understand the songs, and a lot of that comes from the fantastic diction that you hold, which is something that I bring up here often when it comes to screaming, which is, when you're a screamer, the most important thing to me is diction. if I can't understand what you're saying, I can't learn the songs. I can't sing along, and I don't want to always have to read all the lyrics to do that.
I feel like that is something that I've always tried my best at and prided myself in, is being able to show my band to someone that doesn't even listen to metalcore. So showing it to someone who's like, are you one of those screaming bands? And I could show it to them and they would be like, oh, I actually kind of dig this and I can understand what you're saying. Yeah. Like, I think that's so important.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's huge when considering vocals, because I like when people can make crazy noises and stuff too. Right. I think that's really neat, but
yeah, me too.
No, people can't sing along to that in order to be a big band. Even with the most, intense bands like a Whitechapel or a Suicide Silence, they still have parts that you can sing along to.
For sure.
So I just think Ryan kind of drilled that into me, pretty early on, and I've come to really notice how important it is over the years. But it's sick. I'm a fan. It's sick. You've got it. You got the goods there, young fella.
Thank you.
Someone washing dishes? Are you washing dishes?
What's happening is someone's washing dishes in the other room.
Oh, that's tight. It's okay. We got sirens. We got dishes. Oh, yeah,
dude. This is real life.
I'm a big fan. Dude, all right, so you're saying everyone in your band is over 6 feet tall. Who's the guy with the dark hair? Because in the picture, he looks short. Shorter.
That's Julian. He's 6 feet when you bring him closer to the camera.
Man, fuck all y'all. Give me some inches. How tall is Max? He's like 6'4"?
Yeah, Max is 6. I think Max and Johnny are both 6'2". I'm 6 feet. I think Red's 6 feet or 5'11". Truman's 5. Tanner, 5'11". And then Julian, I'm obsessed with height as a
short person. I just constantly wish that I was taller. But, maybe if I was taller, I wouldn't have this drive in life to find a way to be superior through fucking muscles.
Yeah, but, dude, that's so the main reason I want to go on tour with you guys, so I can fucking lift with you.
Oh, that'd be the best. We had last tour was a bunch of great lifting buddies between Alpha one. Wolf, Crystal Lake, and us. Yep. We all lifted a lot, and
I'm so jealous.
It's
of
just
that.
Our driver Andrew. It's crazy. The guy will do an 8-hour, 10-hour drive shift and then wake me up at 9:30 and be like, all right, bitch, let's go to the gym.
I need that.
And I'm like, you're insane, but all right. And then still whoop my ass in the gym. And nice. Yeah, it's really fun. We've got a good group of people because everyone kind of has a couple guys in the crew that tailor to their lifestyle, where like Brian and Trevor are both vegans and they live together at home and they're really good friends. And then Trevor nice. Also, like Kirby, will hang out with the vegans because he's really into diet and shit like that. And then us meatheads get to go be meatheads. But then also Jared and Dan like to go party, where I'm not really like a drinker. I just like to chill and get high and hang out. So it's fun. We've kind of tailored it. And I guess, Bruce fits in between where he at the end of the night, usually he'll, smoke a pipe and drink a whiskey and I'll fucking smoke with him and shit. And then he also will go drinking when we want to have fun on a day off and stuff. So it's nice.
That's cool.
We're lucky ducks. I can't that's wait. Awesome. I miss them much.
Yeah, that's cool. Everybody like has their place. I think that's a natural thing.
Yeah, that's the perk of getting to, build your own team, right? Is you don't need to have anybody around that you don't like to have around. And it's now getting to add in things like last tour, we got to have like a legit white guy. And it was this dude, Jim, who's toured with Wage War. And he came to the gym with us all the time too. And we just fell in love with him, where it was like, oh, dude, I've known you for a week, but I feel like I've known you my whole life.
I love that. Are you guys Planet Fitness?
Yeah, we just do the fitness because it's so cheap, and then you can bring people too. Because a lot of time, like Alpha Wolf and Crystal Lake, they're not from the U.S. They don't have Planet Fitness cards. And I don't want them to buy one because they're only here for a month and they're in a young band. Like, they don't need to do that.
Right.
So this allows us to be able to bring more people, because if Jared has a black card and I've got a black card and Andrew's got a black card and you can just kind of get in some extra people every day and make the workout more of a team effort.
Totally.
Then you get those ultimate gains, bro.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Get somebody pushing you,
Yeah, we've had a few times too where like in the when we did Warp Tour, like this one ABR tour, but you know, we just bring weights with us too, yeah, or other people bring weights, and that's fun because I always like doing outdoor workouts and looking like an asshole in front of
strangers. That's what I always do. I just bring my power blocks. You know, I have like
there you go.
It's not much, but it's like enough to get done whatever I got to do. So just stand in the back of the trailer and look like a dickhead and not care.
Yeah, so you want everyone to walk by and be like, fuck, that dude looks good, yeah, man. Like, shit. Yeah.
Make sure my shirt's off.
Dude, I just feel, because of this time off, I have this motivation in my head where I want to come back just better than ever. I don't want to.
Hell yeah.
After all this time, I don't want people to be like, oh, yeah, that guy definitely looks like he sat on his ass for a year. I want
for to sure.
Come back and be like, man, did he look that good last time I saw him? I'm not sure.
Yep. That this time is obviously what separates the fucking, I don't know, this stupid ass saying, but the men from the boys. You know, you're coming out of this looking better than ever, and you started a fucking business. You know what I mean? Like, put out a record, like crushing it, dude.
The weak from the chaff, the strong peoples from the weak peoples. Hey, you listening? Are you a pussy? Are you trying to be a little bitch? How about you stop being a little bitch? You buck up, soldier, and you get it done. Bitch,
dude, have you fucking watched Cobra Kai on Netflix?
No, I haven't yet, and I've been told so many times I need to
watch it as soon as you have nothing else to watch. It is actually really good and super nostalgic, and what you just did reminds me so much of one of the main characters from the show. That's his whole mindset for Cobra Kai is don't be a pussy.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because I guess in this time period, people could take that and, you know, feel
exactly
slightly like you're sensitive watching it, about it.
Totally. But, you know, and when you're watching the show, you're like, damn, you're like, I can't believe he's saying this shit on TV right now. It's crazy. And
I just need that shit in my life. Like, I need a time where I show up after a fucking tour and I go to see my parents for the first time and my dad's like, bro, you look kind of fat. Like, I need truth in my life.
I know.
And I need someone to look me in the face and be like, dude, you're being a fucking pussy right now.
Dude,
like,
that's
and you
the
can
type
say
of
that word
how
you
can too.
Say, it doesn't have to be pussy. You can call me a bitch. You can tell me weak, whatever. But I just need that honesty. And I also just like crude humor. So there you go.
Yeah.
But we
I'm
have an
very
open door
similar
policy
in that,
here
dude.
On the show. You can say whatever you want because that's it's cool. fun. You can say whatever you want. Like, Gravemind, get a fucking bass player. You can, we could.
One
man.
Of you needs less strings, dude. One of you needs less strings. That's
I
it.
I know. Or just a, you could play a 6-string bass. That'd be pretty cool. It'd be like Vail
okay,
Maya
one of you
or
needs
some
thicker
shit.
Strings.
Yeah, thicker strings. Get a bass 6. You know, that could be cool.
Yep.
Be like one of those hipster bands. You know, like, that's pretty neat. dude, we could just open, like, full trigger on fucking In Vogue right now, and then I'll hit up Nick, and I'll have him on the next episode, and
dude.
It'll fucking blast you guys. It'll be hilarious.
I'll be like, dude, fuck talk, dude. I see what he did here.
That's what I wanted to, it's funny, he made a Facebook post a week or two ago where it was like, hey, I want to be on some podcasts, and me and him ended up having an interaction, and I wanted to be like, all right, I'll have you on the show, but first thing you say on the show is 5 worst bands you've ever signed. and I just hope that those bands are listening. I had like
he's like Kingdom of Giants, Being as an Ocean, yeah. Kingdom of Giants.
Anyone who ever gave me drama. Yeah, I, you know, and why not? Because it's fun.
Yeah,
I just think life needs a little shit talk sometimes.
Feels good.
It does feel good. It makes me feel good. And that's probably because then you can just go. I could go on the internet and read some negative things about myself right now if I want to. But
for
the
sure.
truth is, for every one of those negative comments, I got 1,000,000 monthly listeners, bitch.
Yeah,
what you gonna do?
Is that what you guys got right now?
Yeah.
Nice. That's
pretty cool. 1,000,000. Nice. That means we have millions of dollars, Dana. That's what that means.
That's what I heard.
Kirby found this fake thing where so like it was like a fake write up of Ryan Kirby is worth $17 million. It's like,
oh man,
I'm about to buy some more Teslas.
Who's writing that?
I know, right?
Who has the time to be doing that shit, dude?
I don't know. The same people who have the time to block Kirby from editing our own Wikipedia.
Wow.
That got done too. Shit's hilarious.
Wow.
I love it. Yeah, that's all you want in life, man. It's people to make up lies about you. And that's what I like to do here, because that's the cool thing about, like, for instance, you could consider this podcast to be some sort of, like, news or informative show, right? So then I can just make shit up where it's like, oh, yeah, like, you know, Kingdom of Giants is definitely going out on a tour with Polaris in 2021, whole world tour, and Fit for the Kings is broked up.
Just
someone might, someone might hear that and be like, what, that's true? It's like how I like to tell everyone the earth is flat, because it is. It's the firmament above the firmament, and we got the fucking troll people in the middle of the earth, and I fucking love that shit. I'm in a flat earth group on Facebook, bitch.
Wow.
Yeah, legit. I've loved to bring it up all the time in front of people, because I think it's hilarious. And when you make people feel like, because then they start to think, oh, does this guy actually believe in flat earth? And then I get it. I get it far there. Night. You know, I'll take it as far as I need to, where it's like, you guys think, why is there no pictures of fucking Antarctica and shit? Why have you never seen it? Why have you never seen the North Pole? Because there's a fucking Arctic ice wall. And then, like, past the ice wall is fucking paradise. But they don't want you to know that, dude. You know?
Oh, God.
It's like how they're fucking, you know, feeding babies to reptiles on Epstein Island.
Well, that one's true.
That one is true. And by reptiles, I don't know, Bill Clinton.
Clinton's.
So,
all the bills.
You know, one thing I will never do on the show, though, is talk politics, because I'm uninformed and I like it.
Yeah, right.
But I did. I registered to vote. I was a real adult. I had to do it. My fiance has been bugging me for like 2 months to do it. And I was just having trouble where I've moved a couple times in the last few years.
Same.
And when I was registering to vote, it was like, no, this isn't your address. No, this isn't correct. Well, I was like, motherfucker. So I couldn't just do it online. So I just drove to the Board of Elections office and did it.
And got it done. Nice.
Yeah, because I'm a fucking grown up. That's what I'm going to do.
Dude, you know, it was actually a weirdly helpful link. It was every time I got on Instagram, it'd be like, at the top, there's a little fucking banner and a say. And I was just like, you know what? Boom, clicked it, knocked it out in 10 seconds.
And that was my daily reminder of me being dumb. Where it's like, oh, yeah, dude, you have to do this. Because I remember last election, there was something really great that I saw from, I forget who it was, just some band I really liked. I think it was maybe like guitar player of Circus Survive or something. Mm-hmm. And this person just, you know, looked into their Instagram story, looked you in the eyes, and was like, just remember, if you don't go vote, you cannot bitch for 4 years. You can't complain. You can't argue. Because you didn't care enough to go participate. And don't give me this shit of, well, the system's broken, so I'm not going to vote because my vote doesn't count.
That's a cop out. Just do it anyway.
Shut up and do it. Like, even if you think it doesn't count, just go do it so you can say that you did it. Stupid.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
you know, but I just truly believe you can't complain unless you're going to participate. And it's the same way I feel of, well, I can't really complain or talk about politics because do I know anything about my local politics? Do I know anything about who's in the Senate or who's in, you know, whatever? I don't know shit. I don't know anything. Yeah. Just like I don't know anything about science because I almost failed high school. So I'm not going to talk about fucking COVID because guess what? Right. I don't know anything.
Exactly. You know?
But that's what keeps life fun, because then I'm like, aliens and shit.
Yep.
Ice walls. Flat earth. Cool shit.
Run that with it. That
shit's real, bro. Because if you don't know, all the water, it falls off the side of the earth, and then that's what, like, forms into the firmament, and then that's what, like, when you look at the sky and it's blue, like, look outside. Why do you think the sky's blue if space is black? That don't make no sense, bro.
Wow.
Yeah, dude.
So this is the science that you do know, and this is what you're pushing. I love it. You're like, I won't talk about real shit, but I will get deep in this fake shit.
Yeah, I love it. It's awesome. It's great. You know, it's like, don't have a white lighter in your pocket. Don't think that the earth isn't covered in water and that, you know, it's not flat. 'Cause it is.
Just every conspiracy possible.
Yeah, I love that shit. It's awesome. I'm trying to think of some other good ones that I believe in right now, but like fucking Lord Xenu.
What's that?
You never read on Scientology, bro? Scientology is some cool shit.
Oh, there you go.
You it's the thing is, like, Lord Xenu, he took all the evil people and he, like, threw them in the volcano, and then the body thetans got made, and then we all got body thetans in us, so we got to, like, give our money to Scientology so we can purify ourselves of body thetans.
Oh, that That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. That's some cool shit. I need to get a Scientologist on this show. Maybe I will get political and religious with this shit. Maybe I will become the next Joe Rogan of metalcore.
But you just feed into all of it.
Dude, why not? It's fun. As long as I don't take anything serious, I think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, I'll talk to anybody about anything, and I just want you to explain it to me. I'll never judge you. Because it's the same, you know, when you grow up liking religion, too, at the same time, right? When I was in high school, the only classes I really liked were like comparative religions or, you know, public speaking and that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And because it's interesting. So when you read about a million, you know, a bunch of different religions, and then you're like, all right, so all y'all pretty much got like the same thing, but the head dude's like different. And then, you know, but I got to get to this place if I do these things, you know, and this is how it affects my morality and blah, blah, blah. You're like, okay, so. You know, if I don't want people to think I'm stupid, I can't think anybody else is stupid. But then in religion, naturally, everyone goes, well, no, Jesus is truth. Like, you don't know. You don't understand. You're saying it's fake.
Yeah.
And I love that shit. I think it's hilarious because it's hypocritical and stupid.
So hypocritical. I love it.
But, you know, whatever. Again. Fuck those things. Just for now, because this is a fun show about Screamo and why Screamo is great and how we're so blessed to have Kingdom of Giants putting out a new album called Passenger this
Friday
on Sharptone Records. Do we have any more content coming our way, like in terms of music videos or anything? Or is this, you know, we're pretty tapped out of the single area?
We're going to drop something day of.
Hell yeah, boy.
And then I got something else I'm working on in the background for afterwards. And, you know, I don't know if we see the, I'm just kind of trying to feel out what we're going to do with, like, we want to tap in and, you know, do like a premiere, not like a Revolver Mag premiere, but like a premiere where we watch our video at the same time as you guys and get to talk about it and react to you, something like that. And we want to do, you know, some live Q&As and shit like that. I don't know if we'll do.
Are you guys doing the Twitch thing? Any of you?
We're not yet, but our drummer Truman has literally been in the Twitch world since before he was born. He's been so deep in it, but for some reason we just want him to just take over, like just do the Kingdom one because all of us know absolutely nothing about it.
Yeah.
And we talk about it a lot. And hopefully, I think it's coming up where he's going to start being a little bit more involved with it because he's the only one that knows what the fuck's going on.
Cool.
So we want to do that. And that's where we'll do our Q&As and like shit like that. So
yeah, I've been trying to learn that stuff from Ryan and I want to do one, but I have to get a new computer before I can do that because mine just cannot hang. But it seems really cool and fun. And it's nice to get to interact with everyone. Like, I'm part of his Discord group. And the kids are just so fucking nice in there. They greet each other in the mornings and have great conversations about soda and all sorts of happy-go-lucky shit. And yeah, it's cool to see these little positive, like, you know, subgroups.
Or communities.
Yeah, little mini communities. It's really cool. So that, you know, I'm sure that'll be helpful when you guys do that shit. But
yes,
I'm ready, bro.
Me too.
Be massive. Do for 21. Have you guys announced anything in terms of dates? Are you working on any dates at the moment?
So we haven't announced anything. We're hoping that, you know, the record drops and then things start falling in line, and people are like, "Shit, this band is actually putting out a new album. It's been 4 years, and it's good, and they're reputable now, and they're a new label, and let's take these motherfuckers on the road." So,
absolutely, yeah, it's fucking great. I'm excited. Yeah. It's gonna happen. Absolutely.
It's gonna happen.
Yeah,
it was happening. You know, it's like all the shit that we were gonna do. Like,
we all had mad momentum. You know? Yeah,
the momentum was flowing. Dude, we were going over to the UK. We were gonna do that Alaska tour.
Yeah,
those are the boys, and then boom, they fucking broke up, and I was like, we could have done the last tour with them and seen them again because we did their first tour with them.
That shit breaks my heart. Toby's going to be on the show. He's one of my good friends, and
me too.
I just I love that band so much, you know, every iteration of it. And hearing, Toby had been showing me new material, and it was fucking great. He was starting to sing. It was
the
awesome.
The two singles with him singing, I was like, I fuck with these songs. They're my favorite songs they ever put out.
Same. And it's one of those bands where, to some extent, I almost feel guilt where it's like, man, maybe if we got them to the States sooner.
Right. Yeah.
Things would be different, or this or that, you know. And they were part of this new wave of things where it just needed a little more time. And we'll see what happens. I mean, I won't be surprised if Toby has and does something new. Everyone loves him. He's the fucking man, and one of the kindest souls I've ever met on planet Earth, like legitimately. Yep. So, you know, and it's rare you meet someone on tour like that where it's like, oh, I've kept up with him every couple weeks since I met him 5 years ago or whatever, you know.
Just I always have that like one, there's always like that one, maybe two people that I meet on a whole tour that end up being like super close with. And I'm like, I am so pumped that I still talk to that dude, you know, like I love that shit.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Yeah, makes me want to sit down after this phone call and reach out to every single one of them, you know?
Seriously. I mean, maybe I will have to do that and go and say hi to that motherfucker. Dude, I'm looking at your one funny thing here. The All the Hell record.
Yeah.
You have a guy on a song named Daniel Gailey, but it's not my Daniel Gailey.
It 100% is. It is.
It's my Daniel Gailey?
100%.
Oh, they spent his name wrong.
No, really?
Yeah, there's no E. He has an E in his name.
Oh, you hate to see it. Yeah, he fucking shreds a solo in that song.
Oh, that's sick. That's my fucking boy. I was like, hell, this can't be my Daniel.
It is, yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. That would be fun. I can't wait till we till we have a tour together. It'll be good.
Yeah, man. That'd be a good one.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that, like I said, the guys have spoke so fondly of you all over the years. And I know we've only actually bumped into each other a few times here and there, but it's always been a pleasure, man.
Yeah, you too, bro.
And I'm glad to hear that Johnny has brought so much to the table, too, because it's always interesting when you hear a change in a band and you're not really sure where or why or how that came up. But I guess that's the cool part of this kind of rebirth for your band.
Totally.
Where you're coming out with your best, you sound your best, you look your best, you guys are just fucking crushing it, and now it's like, all right, well, how do we go? Holy shit, I just forgot too. Max, he just had a baby, didn't he?
He just had a fucking baby, bro. Crazy.
That's awesome.
Crazy. Can't wait to see, like, I can't wait to meet that baby and see what, you know, he's gonna be a good ass dad, and just can't wait to see what happens with all that, you know? He's gonna raise a human.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to watch when people get... Well, you have experience with that, with your other guitar player, which is cool.
Totally.
And, you know, I love getting to see that with Bob and what people are capable of. Because especially, you know, with the state of the world currently, one really great refresher is getting to see a really good person raise really good people.
Totally.
And you can see the difference in kids that just don't get that love and attention that they deserve. And it's nice to, I'm excited for Max, and I think he's
going
to be a great dad. So
yeah.
Go great. Max and your Go lady Max. Out there. I don't know her, but
Brandy, congrats. She's a fucking G.
It's awesome. Babies are cool, man. I don't want one for myself for like a long time. Like eventually I will.
But I'm not in the same
really
boat.
Long time for me. It's nice. My partner feels the same. And, you know, she's cool with it. We both just have a lot we want to do before we have kids. And
same. I'm just going to be an old ass dad, but it's going to be fine.
Yeah. You know, and that just makes me be like, well, I'll just have to stay in good shape for a long time so that I can make up for it. Because I did love that my dad was young and like jacked and was like a fucking superhero in my eyes.
Hell
and still is. Like, he's just a super badass motherfucker. But I just can't stop the hustle, bro.
Same.
On it all the time. It just feels good. Feels right.
Yep.
So with that, future plans, we got anything other than just the record? I mean, most of us don't. We're all just kind of waiting in the wings and trying to figure it out, because really the earliest you can rebook stuff is maybe spring 21 in the hopes that any of us will be able to do any travel. But any last words for the people about Passenger, about checking out this record and going and grabbing it on Friday, which I will urge everyone listening. First week is still very important.
Yep.
Generating those sales is still very important. Go buy a vinyl. Go buy a physical CD. Go actually download the record. Streaming is nice, but it really does help if you put in that extra effort. These next couple days and the week following are the most important time in a band's career for those 18 months. And every time it's got to get a little bit better. So please go out and support. Make sure you pick up a merch bundle. Do you have a merch now or a merch direct? Or where are you guys doing your printing these days?
I think it's through, I think it is merch now, but it's through like the Sharptone site.
Okay,
cool. So you can just, I mean, the link is in our Insta bio that takes you right there. It's like a link tree that has everything that you can go. Pre-orders, got the singles, it's got all that. So yeah, Friday, big day. First album on a real label, a new label, a milestone, a hopeful turning point for King of the Giants to let us actually show up to the fucking party that we've been invited to but haven't been allowed into for the past 5 years. So,
well, I wish you nothing but the best, man. And I think that those things are certainly coming for the band. And, you know, like we've pointed out today, it's nice to see that from that side where a good band to relate to with that is Ice Nine Kills. Yeah. For a long time, people fucking wrote that band off. They didn't give them the respect they deserved. And then you'd see that band play a Warped Tour and they'd fucking smash. But then they'd still not get the invite to go on those other tours, those club tours, those bigger tours. Or they'd get pinned and put in an early spot. Well, guess what, motherfuckers?
That band is huge.
And they deserve it. And they worked so goddamn hard to get there. Yep. Spencer is such a genius. And it's nice to see that some things like atmosphere and the right people pushing a band can make that difference. You know, he found himself surrounded by a great team. That team helped to push them to that next place. But it doesn't come without amazing music. You guys have now written an incredible record, and now you have an incredible team. You can push it to the max, and those things will most certainly come for you. And it's really great to see, man. I'm super fucking happy for you guys.
Fucking appreciate it, dude.
Hell yeah. All right, any final words for the people before I let you go?
That's it, man. Just jam that record. Get baked and listen to it. Don't get baked and listen to it. Do whatever you want. It's a fucking sick record, front to back. In my opinion, we wrote something cinematic and hopefully different than something we've ever done and the best shit we've ever done. So jam it. Let me know what you think.
Cinematic is a great descriptive word for your music. Yeah. It truly That's is. Correct. And I love the media you've created for it. I love the videos. I love that just the whole feel of everything because it fits so well and it just looks like you've really cared. And I know it's taken a lot of work. And you were saying that, you know, when we first started talking before we started the interview, and how much work you've had to do in terms of, you know, not just creating the videos or for in this instance, you're doing more of the commercial work and ads and putting that kind of stuff together where, you know, for those who don't know, you actually have a ton of experience with, you know, video work, which we should have talked about more.
That's okay.
But one, everyone listening, you can hire Dana to make your music videos because they fucking rock.
Fuck yeah. Thanks, man.
But yeah, you know, through all the hard work, it's shown. It's great, and I'm excited for everyone to be able to really just sit back and enjoy it, and I can't wait to spin the whole record and lift some goddamn weights to this thing on Friday.
Yeah, there you go.
Hell yeah, dude. All right. Well, that's all I got for you today, brother.
Loved it.
Hold on 1 second, and I'll say goodbye to you off the air, but thank you so much for being on the show today, and I hope you enjoyed getting tucked.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate it.
Of course. All right, the show is over. Yeah. Sorry I was a little late this week with putting out this episode. I'll be honest, it's been a little hectic over here. Been working a lot trying to keep this Featured X thing moving and still be able to do the show. But fun thing is the show will also be going on YouTube very soon. I got some things so I can do a nice little show here at home. And I really appreciate your patience. Please go and like the show on Apple or wherever you listen to it. Subscribe to it. Give us a nice 5-star review. All of that stuff does really help, and I have never really asked for that in the past. But you know what? I'm trying to put some steroids into this thing. I think it's going to be really cool as we move forward. And always let me know who you would like me to interview. I can always use some ideas, but I have some cool shows coming up. Yeah, that's about it. Or, you know, send me your song, gettuckedthepodcast@gmail.com. If you just want to say hi, send me an email. I will definitely check it out. Thank you. You're the best. I love you so much. I'll see you next week. But until then, get tucked!
Hey, this is Chris Swinney, formerly of the Ataris and currently host of That One Time on Tour, part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Have you ever wondered what it's really like on the road? The highs can be euphoric, but the lows can be crushing. Join me every week as I chat with industry pros about what it's like living out their wildest dream and, in some cases, their worst nightmare. Past guests of the show include members of NoFX, Pennywise, Bad Religion, and more. Listen and subscribe at SoundTalentMedia.com.